The Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 27th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Policy analysts say Wisconsin still has one of the strictest voter ID laws in the country. A nonpartisan group is carrying out efforts to help marginalized residents overcome barriers so they can cast a ballot.
The midterm election is less than 2 weeks away, and Nick Ramos of the group Vote Riders says he's busy providing guidance on securing the necessary documents, such as a birth certificate, for those who face challenges in obtaining the needed identification to vote. He says when helping black voters, there's a sentiment that they're especially burdened by the law.
It almost becomes like this feeling of apathy. There's so many hurdles that I have to jump through to try and be able to vote. So, like, why should I bother?
Ramos is the group's coalition coordinator in Wisconsin. He says they assist with things such as document fees and transportation. The state's voter ID law was adopted in 2011, but largely remained shelved until 2016 due to legal battles. Republicans who pushed for it say it's meant to protect against fraud, but opponents say it's a form of voter suppression. I'm Mike Moen.
Meantime, this Friday, October the 28th, is vote early day, and with early voting already underway in Missouri, there are a few things to remember.
Missourians can cast a no-excuse absentee ballot in person between now and November 7th as long as they have a non-expired state or federal photo ID. Jeanette Senecal with the League of Women Voters says the intention of Vote Early Day is to help familiarize people with the voting process.
The goal here is to really help people navigate the process so that they can cast their ballot without any problems. And if there is a problem that arises when they go to the polls, they can figure out what their problem is and they have time to address it.
There are 18 Vote Early Day celebrations across the state. For locations and information, visit voteearlyday.org. Brett Pivato reporting.
In the upcoming election, Missourians have 5 ballot measures to decide. Now from the Washington Post, former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows must testify before a Georgia grand jury investigating Republican efforts to reverse the 2020 presidential election results. In the state, a South Carolina judge ruled on Wednesday. The Post reports the Fulton County DA, Fannie Willis, has said her inquiry is examining the multi-state coordinated efforts to influence results of the 2020 election in Georgia and elsewhere. South Carolina Circuit Judge Edward Miller ruled Wednesday Meadows must comply with a subpoena as his testimony is material and necessary to the investigation. And the state of Georgia is assuring not to cause undue hardship to him. This is PNS. Educators say they are deeply concerned but not surprised with newly released test results showing how far Michigan students have fallen during the pandemic.
Results from the National Assessment of Educational Progress showed 4th and 9th graders scored significantly lower in math and reading skills this year than they did prior to the COVID crisis. Data from the September release of standardized test scores showed some of the steepest learning declines for Michigan students in a half century. Thomas Morgan with the Michigan Education Association says major changes are needed to the state's education system.
Teachers and students and parents have been through so much with the pandemic and with virtual learning, school violence, and the student mental health crisis. We need to focus right now on structural issues to get our schools back up to full capacity.
According to the Michigan Department of Education, the state's 4th and 9th graders scored at or below the national average in math and significantly below average in reading. Between 2019 and 2021, Michigan 4th graders dropped from 32nd to 43rd place in state rankings, while 9th graders dropped from 28th to 31st. Mark Richardson reporting.
And employees of the Tacoma Art Museum have collected more than 400 signatures of community support as they seek to unionize the institution, which was founded way back in 1935.
Stephen Brew prepares exhibits at the museum and says a majority of workers have indicated they want to join the Washington Federation of State Employees and become the state's first museum with unionized workers across departments. Brew believes a recent management resignation and other disruptions suggest it's the appropriate time for more employee engagement.
Unionizing would solidify our voice as the workers, but also give us a voice in order to implement those changes that need to be made.
Workers are seeking voluntary recognition for the union from museum management, but haven't heard if that will be accepted. I'm Roz Brown.
Finally, our Danielle Smith lets us know a report by the Sierra Club says Georgia Power is not doing enough to transition to cleaner energy sources.
In the analysis, Southern Company and most of its subsidiaries, including Alabama Power and Georgia Power, received failing grades when their actions were compared to their public positions on renewable power. Charlene White with the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign in Georgia says Southern Company's promise to reach net zero carbon emissions by 2050 is a step in the right direction, but it has yet to take the steps necessary to decarbonize.
But numbers don't lie. Southern Company still heavily relies on fossil fuels to power our grid.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your day with Public News Service, member and listener supported, on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.